good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, April the 21st, 114th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, what are you?
I am broker to the city of Blue Lake, as well as broker to the stars, David Wells.
Oh. Well, I know who you were. I didn't know what you were.
Yeah?
Yeah, broker to the stars.
Huh? Broker to the stars, sure.
A truly frightening concept. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the things that are going on, whether it's the local economy, but more specifically, and I guess probably more on topic, the industrial park. We've got a number of industrial parks in our area that didn't exist 30 years ago, but it seems to be one of the trendy things that most municipalities are looking for, and I know the county is looking for it also. So we'll talk a little bit about what function those things provide, how you set them up, and what are some of the benefits for the community to have an industrial park. We'll do that when we come back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 312. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Wells. But before we do, our quote this afternoon is actually a Dutch proverb. Quote, a handful of patience is more than a bushel of brains. All right, Mr. Stars.
And I was just going to say, you know, I'm part Scottish.
Yeah, well, but... Got about as close as I wanted to.
I got no touch in you, though.
Dave, what is this thing called an industrial park? I mean, it sounds pretty straightforward, but the application we've had in our area, whether it's the food production folks or what Blue Lake has or what Redway has, they seem to be loosely defined as an industrial park. So is there a definition?
Well, I think the definition really depends upon the community and what they're trying to do, and it does vary a little bit. But, you know, in general, an industrial park is a city or community or county or whatever governmental agency is trying to set aside specific areas of zoning for jobs and manufacturing primarily. To try to make sure that there's an area for people in their community to have those types of jobs, and then also to make sure that the use of that area doesn't conflict with something else you might be trying to do. So you don't normally put your industrial park right next to your downtown. You don't want those side by side, typically.
So, well, unless you've got a really, really old general plan that you've been trying to update for a long, long time and things change.
Which can happen.
I understand that to be the case.
Yes, that can happen.
So industrial parks, can they have a flavor or a theme?
Yeah, and sometimes they have a flavor or a theme in different parts of one industrial park. But for the most part, you know, they're generally just a place where better paying jobs are going to be provided to the community, and it makes a more well-rounded community that then you've got people that can live in their community, they can work in their community, they can play in their community, and they don't have to go somewhere else.
Is an incubator a form of an industrial park?
An incubator can be, depending upon how it's set up. But yeah, if you take the Food Works in Arcata, for example, you know, that's an industrial. They wouldn't, you know, a food processor wouldn't want to be called industrial. But
yeah, it sounds like there ought to be cement and dust in the
right,
air.
Exactly.
Or something.
So it's probably not the best terminology, but they're an incubator for people that are producing food products, and so that incubator ends up providing ends up providing a building where people can do can produce food. It ends up with all of the different equipment that's needed. And so when you go to the food works, there's stoves, there's refrigerators, there's places to store your dry foods. There's warehouses where you can package up your food so it can get shipped out. Yeah, yeah. So you can have an incubator that works in that way. You could also have an incubator that is more like, say, the Greenway building in Arcata is an incubator. And what they do is they have more small, one or two or three people offices, a lot of it revolving around environmental issues, a lot of it revolving around small nonprofits. But what they get is they get a lot of crosstalk where people are talking about best practices for nonprofits or best practices for their environmental group. So that's a different kind of incubator, but it's a similar concept in that you're putting people with similar ideas, similar goals, similar dreams and hopes all together in one building.
What's the downside of an industrial park?
Well, there, you know,
you think that there has to be because every city doesn't have half a dozen of them. So somewhere there's either a carrying capacity or there's some kind of a reason not to.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm thinking, a city like Eureka is a little more challenged on how much industrial land is out there and available. So there's some of it that's utilized, and most of it's between Highway 101 and the Bay. You know, so there is industrial land, but in the concept of trying to expand and bring in new businesses to take over, like an industrial park within Eureka, there's not really that capacity there. So that's one of the issues with them is just making sure that you've got the available space to do the things that you want to do, and then you end up with things like. You've got to look at the businesses that are there and where you want to put them and how close do you want them to be to your residential or your other businesses that are also industrial. So we're talking about the food works. Well, you wouldn't want a lumber mill right next to the food works because, you know,
it's
could end up
across the street, right?
Well, not in Arcata. The food works is in Arcata, but
well, I was thinking Brit, you know, the old Brit lumber with the fencing.
Yeah, so it's removed a little bit away, but yeah, I mean, that's not your ideal situation is to have that right next door. So you've got sawdust mixing with your salsa or bread dough or yeah, whatever it may be. So yeah, so you've got to be cautious in that. And again, that's where zoning comes into play.
Is there an optimal size?
Well, I think there's an optimal size, and that's designated according to the economy, how things are going at that particular time. It's dependent upon how much land is actually available. Arcata has done a very good job, and I know I'm here to talk about Blue Lake, but Arcata has done a very good job of bringing new land trying to bring new land to the market, and is going to expand their industrial park fairly soon. Blue Lake, for example, is a little more set in how much land is designated for their industrial park.
Yeah, it's kind of defined.
Yeah, it's defined that they've got residential on one side and basically the river on the other side, and so what they have is very set, and so that's their optimal size.
KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Dave Wells.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Wells. Dave, the concept of an industrial park, to me, seems like every city ought to have one. I mean, it just seems logical that you would have something that businesses that were wanting to be in your community or stay or expand in your community would have that they could make and create whatever it is that they're so inclined. You know, unless there was something goofy like, you know, the byproduct is a hazardous material or something along those lines. But, you know, in our area, woodworking. I mean, we got, I think, an awful lot of folks that are that way. Why not have a woodworking park so that you can get some of the synergies working together also? Maybe whether it's shared office staff or combined buying or whatever it might happen to be. Are there models of that sort with industrial parks throughout the country that make them attractive for startups or for relocations?
Yeah, and there are. And, you know, Humboldt County is kind of its unique own little culture, but I'll go back to kind of your original
point. We always
point.
Are, aren't we?
Aren't? Yes, we are. But kind of your original point, you know, there, you know, if you go down to, for example, the Bay Area, you know, there's lots of communities there that are just what, you know, what they call bedroom communities, and people have houses there and they go and they live, you know, they live there, and then there's stores there, and so they can do retail shopping. But they've made a very conscious decision that they don't really want any production right next to them. They want that production to be somewhere else. So, you know, if you go to...
So they really push jobs away?
Yeah, they, you know, unless they're retail jobs. But yeah, they, you know, they made the conscious decision that they're gonna be almost totally, completely residential with parks and with grocery stores and the things that their people need. But not really looking to have the jobs that would be especially industrially based within their community. And in fact,
yeah,
they want those jobs somewhere else.
Yeah, a steel plant.
Exactly.
Okay.
But they've also, you know, taken things that are, you know, say cleaner than a steel plant, you know, like you say, like a woodworking, and said, no, we don't want those jobs either. You know, those can go to a different community that is welcoming to them, and there are those communities that are out there too. And you know, so when you look at Humboldt County, it's not totally true, but if you look at McKinleyville is more of a bedroom community with not a lot of industrial production that's going on there. There's a little bit, but
now the
not
industrial,
very much.
The park at the north end of town, is that zoned for an industrial, or is that just zoned as a development? The one that's got the new courthouse and then the...
Yeah, well, you're talking about the airport business park, and so
okay.
That's...
So is a business park an industrial park? Is it a subset of that?
Well, it does have a small component to it that does allow, not really production, but it would allow more of distribution. So it's really set up that UPS or FedEx or somebody like that could have a fairly big warehouse there right next to the airport. And so they'd be able to take their packages, get them to the airport and, you know, in the nick of time and stuff like that. So it does have a component like that, but it's really meant to be a, more of an office type of park.
So if a business park is a theme, if mm-hmm. you will, industrial park, are there other theme parks? I mean, can you designate a theme for an industrial park, or do governments typically just say, okay, this is going to be an industrial park, or zone for that, or zone for light manufacturing or manufacturing, and they just kind of leave it that way, and whatever ribbon you want to use to wrap it up and make the present look better is up to you.
Yeah, and you know, throughout the U.S. are certainly themed business parks, and some would say that's what the entire Silicon Valley is. You know, it's a themed business park with one theme. Let's get the internet rocking. So, but, you know, in Humboldt County, things don't set up quite the same way where you can say we're going to put all food people into one general area and then try to provide them with ice and packaging and all the things that all of them need. It just doesn't set up that way. So most business parks really have to look at it and say, well, I don't want people to conflict with each other. So again, I don't want somebody who's producing air pollution right next to my food works. I definitely don't want something like that. But but anyway,
it's interesting to me that with as many beer places we have mm-hmm. and the food places that we have, that there aren't a mega development where all those folks could be there in kind of the same general area, so that, you know, whether it's shipping or trucking or, you know, getting the goods to market, so to speak, could all kind of be handled and everybody could take advantage of, you know, if I've only got half a trailer load, then you've got a third of a trailer that's going out. Great,
yeah, let's share.
Let's mush it so we share the transportation costs and kind of work together. Is that something that is rare?
Well, yeah, it's rare in that, you know, if you look at all the breweries, you know, they all started at different times. And so if 10 breweries all came together at the same time and said, hey, we all want to start producing all in the same moment in time, then you could say, well, yeah, let's get 40 acres and put you all in the same place and then provide infrastructure that works for all of you. But it just, you know, it doesn't happen that way. You got Mad River Brewery, you know, that started whatever in the 60s, and Barber Groom at Lost Coast that started in the 70s, and then a lot of people have come in recently in the last 5 or 10 years, but it doesn't work out that they can all end up in the same place at the same time because they didn't start at the same time.
Hey, maybe we need to bring back the woolen mills. I just read something I didn't realize. William Carson was Carson House was the first. He was the guy that built and did the woolen mills.
Yeah,
I didn't know that part. KINS News and Information Times 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Wells. No, he's not really wanting to change his name to Bill, but that's okay. Dave, what sense do you have about the local economy? Because real estate certainly is one of those things that reflects current. Yeah, I mean, if things are hopping, things are hopping. If things aren't, things aren't. Do you sense in the commercial side, are things, is there signs of life? Is there a little bit of demand starting to creep into the equation?
Yeah, and the good news is yes. Yeah, things are starting to get better. And, the first thing that really started to come back for Humboldt County, and not saying this is good or bad or whatever, but national retail was really the first people to start to kind of creep back and to say, we feel like the economy is going to get better. We're ready to start expanding. And that was very helpful to Bayshore Mall. That was very helpful to Eureka Mall. Probably a little less helpful to downtown or Old Town.
Because they need a bigger footprint to make their model work, or they need parking? Or what? Why do they stay out of the boutique-y districts?
They need all of that. They definitely need the parking. They definitely need, you know, larger footprints. If you think about a Walmart or you think about a Target, you know, you're talking 60,000, 80,000, 100,000 square feet, something like that. And that would take up probably two blocks of Old Town Eureka or all of downtown Blue Lake.
The Pier 1 store. I mean, you know, it's not huge. Mm-hmm. It certainly could fit into some of the retail spaces I'm thinking that are currently available. Do they just like the foot traffic, the magnet, the attraction of a regional or a strip mall versus a freestanding store?
They like they would call it co-location. They like the co-location of knowing that, you know, if people go to the Pier 1 store, they're also likely to stop by Bed Bath and Beyond. And, you know, and that happens in Old Town and downtown as well, where people head down and they do find the more boutique-y things that you're not going to find at the Bayshore Mall. You know, you can find those in the downtown and Old Town area.
So does that make Steve Gordon's experiment with Restoration Hardware that much more unique, that he was able to become a destination in Old Town without having a big footprint, without having the co-location, without all those things that others of the stores, once they started their expansion mode, were looking for, but store one never needed?
Yeah, and I would say that was really cool that he was able to do that. And probably more people could, but they end up just setting up a business model and then they follow that business model. So if you get in the habit of being in malls, then that's where you go. But yeah, it was a great and wonderful experiment that they were able to do that in Old Town and really start things there. But if you followed his expansion, you know, most of his expansion went into larger stores in shopping centers.
And restaurants don't tend to have that requirement, though. They seem to, I'm not thinking of the big brands, I'm thinking of some of the smaller, the ethnic brands, tend to, Chili's, I mean, they don't have to be in a mall, or Chipotle, it doesn't have to be in a mall. I mean, they don't need those settings. They can insert into those shopping districts. Is that just a different business model that they have that allows them that flexibility?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, you'll find those in malls sometimes, but you'll find them as standalone. So if you look at your Eureka, you'll find Marie Callender's is on Highway 101, not in a shopping center, but very visible, and so a lot of those chain restaurants will just try to get to a visible spot, and do like to be standalone so that people can drive in, park in the parking lot, and go right to their space and not have to park and walk past, you know, whatever 20 or 30 other stores to get to them. They just want them to be able to come right to them.
With the determination that Arcata did with the formula restaurants, I think is the phrase that they ended up finally with.
I think you are right.
Does that become a hindrance for other businesses to locate there, or something that they kind of, is it something else that they have to consider before locating there, or are there just certain communities that don't want and don't get the attention of the out-of-area-owned businesses?
Yeah, and Arcata's experiment was certainly an experiment to begin with, so nobody really knew how that was going to turn out. And I'm sure that they looked at other models before going that direction to see, and it's turning out just fine for Arcata, and it's turning out really good for local, especially restaurants that are in that downtown area. So it's turning out great for pretty much everybody that's there. That the vacancy rate in Arcata is very, very low. It's very hard to find space there. And so that's worked out well. And then Arcata has the other model out in Valley West, where you can have the formula restaurants, you can have the national restaurants, and they've got all the national hotel chains that are out there. So so they've taken that experiment, and it is working out very well for them.
Are there other communities in the area that could benefit from something similar to that? Or do they benefit because Arcata is doing that, and so if somebody is looking to locate, it gives them a stronger position and a higher likelihood that these folks will locate in their towns rather than those that either don't have space or don't have interest.
Yeah, and Eureka is probably a beneficiary of that there's some, if you want to call them national restaurant chains, that will look at the Arcata situation and say, well, since we don't get to be right downtown and we really want to be right downtown, we'll go to Eureka. There's also a lot of kind of the national retail and chains that just say, well, Eureka is quite a bit bigger. Eureka's got 40 to 50,000 people right there. Eureka has most of the, you know, is the hub of retail in Humboldt County. And so...
that and the UPS truck. KINS, News and Information Times 343. He got it. Hope you did too. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 345. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dave Wells. Dave, what is it, and it's always been a curiosity for me, why certain areas go in and out of favor? During the break, we were talking about Henderson Center, downtown Eureka, 4th and 5th at F Street, used to be, you know, the place. That was the retail hub of the county. And you gave your eye teeth to get in there. Now we got empty spaces. Now, what is it that makes an area desirable, less desirable, trendy, not trendy? What is it?
Yes, and if I knew all the answers to that, or even most of the answers to that,
you wouldn't be talking to me for free.
I'd be much more successful than I am. But you know, there's a lot of answers to that, and you know, so we were talking about Henderson Center, and there's a lot of new restaurants that are going into Henderson Center, and how did they choose there, and why did they choose there? I know, you know, some of the reasons why, but not all the reasons why.
It's not just square footage, is it?
Well, some of it's, you know, price, and some of it's square footage, and then some of it is, you know, it's just being around your like kind. And so there's some areas that just get known as that's, you know, that's where you're going to go for dinner. And, you know, I can think of several cities that I know that have, you know, just have their whole main street is just restaurant after restaurant after restaurant. And
does it matter what side of the street you're on?
In Humboldt County or?
Yeah, I think. The guys that have a northern exposure, unless there's the bay or the ocean mm-hmm. is part of that, tough sledding, man, because you never get sun.
Well, and I was going to say the sunny side of the street is always a little bit better. And
does it get priced that way?
It's always a little bit more expensive because it's the sunny side of the street. And part of that depends upon what you're doing. So you may not want the sunny window if you're trying to sell TV sets and want to display them in your window, something like that. But by and large, yeah, the, you know, it's warmer. People walk on the sunny side of the street more often, and less so on the, you know, on the shady side of the street.
What about the proximity to a parking lot? Does that influence
huge.
Anything?
That's huge. That you know, if you can be closer, or there's even spaces that. You know, in my business, it's known that if you don't have a lot of parking close by, then you want to be the type of business where you have fewer customers that buy a bigger ticket item. So you might want to be an appliance store in a spot like that. So
you don't need foot traffic.
So you don't need a lot of foot traffic because you don't have a lot of parking. So you might only have 3 sales a day, but you just made $2,000 or $2,500 for the day on your sales. Whereas if you're a clothing store or something like that, then you need more parking because
bubblegum sales
or yeah, candy sales, you know, things like that. You need people turning over, so you've got to have. You've got to have parking that handles that turnover.
General state of commercial property, business, retail, malls, that kind of stuff, today versus 5 years ago.
Oh, well, things are much better than they were 5 years ago.
10 years ago.
10 years ago was probably pretty much the, you know, as with residential, was pretty much the... The high times was 2005, 2006, maybe 2007, and then by 2008, things were definitely starting to turn. So,
can we get back? Do you see that? Now we go the other way. 5 years from now, what do you see?
I think there will be a status quo that's going to be better than what it is right now. Whether we'll see the same kind of pricing and the, you know, just the the run on basically, you know, every store that could possibly be rented being rented out. I don't know if we'll see that. I think we'll be a little bit not quite as good as probably 2006, but
same mix. Or do you think that there'll be new businesses coming, new types of businesses?
I think that, you know, there'll be some new businesses. I think there's always some kind of changeover and things like that. And you know, one of the big things, especially for Humboldt County, is going to be the election in 2016 and what that's going to bring and what that's going to mean. Are we going to be the new Denver, Colorado, or, you know, some things like that. And that's probably a whole show in and of itself right there.
But, hey, you know, if we get the Nuggets to relocate here, I guess Fred will get his new gym.
I'll take the Broncos as well.
Yeah, well, you can have them. Thanks for coming by, Dave.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug somebody else. See you tomorrow.